So, hi, everybody.
Hey.
I like starting an episode with so. We're mid-conversation.
So.
So, anyway, welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
Listener, you'll have to excuse Will Arnett today. The things are a little sour.
I'm surly.
Surly today.
he's surely surly.
We recorded this the day after my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs lost.
Oh, they lost last
game
night?
Game 7, yeah.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
And it wasn't a great performance. No. Biz made that very clear.
Yeah, he sure did.
And God bless him for being honest.
God bless Biz, Paul Bissonnette, my friends and my co-mourner. As a Leafs fan, Paul Bissonnette, world's number two Leafs fan, obviously. Behind me, but I am considering free agency.
This is
agency.
Hockey, listener.
Yeah, we're talking NHL hockey. I'm considering free agency.
No, in you didn't say before we started recording, you weren't considering it. You had declared that
I want to test the open market. I see how it goes now in the world.
We'd love to have you over at the Kings.
Okay, I'd love to hear from Luke Robitaille when the time is appropriate. I'd like to see what kind of package he could put before me.
Now, how do you think Brendan Shanahan's going to feel about all this run in your mouth here?
Well, my look. Obviously, I just do this to
Brendan runs a team there in
G0. Former Smartless guest early on.
Yes.
And friend of ours.
He runs a team there in Toronto. And he's having a tough day today, I'll bet.
He knows it's a business.
Your heart is a business?
My fandom. You know that fandom.
You're not going to stick with them when they're hurting?
I'm going to do what's right. I mean, look, it's nothing wrong. People test the open market. He's tested the open market before. He's been a free agent.
Oh, do you think he's got his resume out there amongst all the clubs saying, hey, I'd love to be GM over on your...
What do I know?
Need you now more than ever.
What do I know? I tell you
what do you want to do? You want to run a team, Will?
No, he's just looking for a team to root for that's going to win all the time. He's going to win the Stanley Cup every year.
They've never won in my lifetime.
What, the Maple Leafs never won
in my lifetime.
Wow.
1967.
That's like the Cubs to me. And then when they won, I cried.
Yeah. Is that true?
1967 was the last time that they won?
Yeah, that's right.
Will, you were born in 58.
I know, so. It's good stuff. Anyway, what else is going on?
You guys look handsome today.
What else is going
on?
I didn't even come to Sunday Funday, although I wasn't invited, as it turned out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, let's get pissed off about.
I don't give a fuck.
We got a list.
Well, what do you mean you weren't invited? You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. Really? Sure I do.
What did you?
Tell my inbox.
Yeah.
you didn't miss much. It was just burgers and chat,
and that's
typical Sunday fare.
Yeah.
Sorry. And
I'm also a free agent with that. I'm a free agent with friends now, too.
Oh, really? You're looking for a new date for Sunday nights?
Mm-hmm.
Are you drinking dishwashing soap?
It's water.
Oh, okay. Why don't you try going to Mass on Sunday nights? Do they have it at night on Sunday, or is that Saturday night?
Mass.
Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah.
The Lord's house is always open, pal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will, I'm really sorry. I sent you a text early yesterday that, speaking of Jesus, that I had spoken to Hockey Jesus and that Toronto was going to be okay. And
I know you weren't alone. I don't blame. First of all, I'm not superstitious in that way. I was texting with John Hamm, during the game, and one of the refs, I'm not laughing at his misfortune, went down because he took a high stick, and he took
a stick right in the eye.
Yeah, and he was bleeding all over the ice. And Hamm said, "Is this good luck or bad luck for your team?" And I said, like literally in real time as it was happening, I said, "I don't know. I can't." I'm actually not superstitious in that way anymore because then you're just a maniac. So I don't knock wood anymore. I don't do any of that stuff. Like, who knows?
So, anyway,
I'm letting you off.
Look what happened. But this is what I worry about because I knock wood all the time. I got a whole series of things.
I do too, yeah.
And Will, you said that you've stopped knocking on wood.
Yeah.
Look what happened to your team last night.
Years ago.
Okay, well, this is the problem. This is why you have to keep up with superstition so that you can get the wins when you need them.
No, but thinking that...
Your fault.
Thinking about me watching the game a certain way or doing things a certain way and thinking that's going to affect the outcome is like, that's how Charles Manson thought. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's insane.
Let's bring a serial killer into it. Will, you need to stop watching sports.
Listen, this is...
And stop fucking with your hair.
Here's the other thing I want to say. is that my Liverpool won the Premier League this year. So that's the
good
news.
There you go.
That's the good news.
Start singing the song right now.
We've conquered all of Europe. We're never going to stop. From Paris down to Turkey. We've won
Is that the chant that they do at the end of that?
The Pink Floyd song. You Never Walk Alone.
Fearless.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs ever.
With hope in your heart. In your heart
and Sean, quiet.
Walk alone. You'll
Sean,
you don't
know this stuff.
Never Walk Alone, but that's like an old song.
What is it, Jerry? Jerry and the Pacemakers, I think. It's a brilliant song. It's a brilliant team, and Liverpool. I'm also, anyway, we've spent way too much time.
How are other things?
No,
let's talk about other things in your life.
Yeah, go. Tell me.
Let's go.
We'll either get a hat. Or fucking turn your camera off. I can't see you continuing to fuck with your hair.
These headphones are driving me crazy because I'm wearing over-the-ear headphones today.
Well, that's what we all do, okay?
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Why is it a problem?
Well, where's your earbuds?
So what? Then mute my camera.
How do you do it?
Mute my camera. Where are your earbuds?
I knew I needed new friends. Where are your earbuds?
Hey, calm down. By the way, if there's a wrong side of the bed, you sure woke up on it.
Speaking of the bed, where are you, Will? You got this nice curtain behind you and a little leather sofa.
I'm in my
new whisper booth.
I'm just in my spot here.
All right. Anything else to chat about before we get to our guest? We have a nice guest.
Let's stop picking on me.
Okay, Sean, what about you? What are your problems today?
I can tell you.
Problems. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me.
I know what's going on.
I gotta stop eating sugar.
Listen, I had to go through a night last night with Sean, really boring all of us with the big efforts he's making to get off of sugar. He's been 48 hours. He's just talking about how he's white knuckling and how tough he is.
Yeah.
As he's taking deep sips of cranberry juice on ice.
Well,
that's just red sugar.
Juice is sugar. You can't drink.
Yeah,
juice.
But your body.
Whatever. Huh? What is it?
Processes that kind of sugar differently because it's not processed sugar.
Oh no, shit.
Got it.
Yeah.
No so shit. That won't. Okay.
Fuck. And you then know what all the stuff behind you are those diplomas behind you?
And then what happened when the dessert came to the table last night?
I had one bite and I gave the rest to Maple, your daughter. I had one bite. Yeah, right. But that was good. That was really hard. And then I got home, and I've just been shoving fruit in my mouth like crazy, like watermelon and
obviously
orange.
Obviously, insert joke here, but
insert. Yeah, it's just shoving fruit in my mouth.
Did fruit mind or?
Does he mind being called that?
Oh my God! And Jay, lamented over me not having dad jokes. So I have always prepared now.
How would you have any dad jokes?
What do you mean?
You have no dad.
Yeah, remember he sped off.
Well, that's a good one. I have
that's
those
a literal
prepared.
Dad joke.
Yeah, What was the one you told me last night that we had to work on? We had to work on a little bit.
That wasn't very good. That was, I have one for you really quick. Ready?
Okay.
Sure.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I eat mop.
I eat mop who? What happened there? How'd you do that to me? Okay. Oh, guys, our next guest was in one of my favorite films of the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He seems to have it all. He's talented. He's successful. He works with only the top people in the best projects. He's got artistic credibility and box office sock. Okay, that's what you want. You want box office sock.
Sock.
Okay, he's handsome, he's tall, he's got good hair.
Sure.
Let's get him out here. Let's see if he's single. Let's see how he does it all. Gang, it's Nicholas Holt. Come on out, Nicholas.
Hey. What a reveal.
Nicholas Holt.
It took everything in my power when you were talking about fruit not to reveal myself right then.
Now you know how I feel.
Well, let's get right to it then. So are you single?
No, I'm not. I'm married. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Good for you.
And also, I don't know if my hair... I've got blonde hair now. You said good hair in the intro
as well.
Well,
blonde can be good.
Thanks. It was giving me quite a lot of anxiety sitting there. I mean, I was enjoying listening to you guys, but also I was like, this is quite stressful the reveal thing.
The reveal.
I mean, obviously, Jason, you know it's me. But then I was like, what if Sean and Will are like,
I know.
Why?
Wait, you guys know each other?
A tiny bit. It must be stressful for the guest, right? This whole, like, you're thinking there, well, when I reveal, are they going to be excited? Are they going to be disappointed? Right?
If I were you guys, I'd probably be like quickly Googling like Nicholas Holt, quick.
Okay. Right. Well, that's the whole reason. It's the whole reason we do the surprise guest thing.
We don't need to.
The other two people don't have to do any research, right? So Will and Sean get to just sit here and be the dummies that they are.
No, of course I know. I could ask you 1,000 questions about Nosferatu, which you were amazing. I love that movie. I
mean, not a question. That was a statement. Go over the first question.
No, but I have questions.
The thousand questions. Go.
Okay, ready? The makeup. What was it like? Like
999 to go. Go ahead.
Wait, why is your hair blonde?
Say you have 1,000. Just ask question. I'm holding everybody's feet to the fire. Nicholas, I've had a rough 24 hours.
I heard, and I'm sorry. You'll get through.
Why is the hair blonde? What's coming up for you? I can't, but you know, you work in only the greatest projects. I mean, your resume is really
The
stunning.
Order.
When do you stop? God, that's the film. That was one of my favorite films of the year.
Incredible.
The Order. That's where we met because you were working with Jude on your show and you came in very nicely to a Q&A for us. So thank you for doing
it. Same director, right?
Yeah, that was really fun. Yeah, Justin Kurzel. Yep. Incredibly well-directed film. And then he directed the final two episodes of Black Rabbit. And that guy is just incredible.
Did you have fun with Justin?
Yeah, I love that guy. My God. Yeah, he's so great. Good at what he does. Anyway, why is the hair blonde? What's coming up? What's that up for?
This is a movie I'm about to start called, it's called How to Rob a Bank.
Oh, with David Leitch, who was just on the show.
David's directing.
Oh, that's great.
He called me the other day and he was like, how would you feel about going blonde and trying that for this? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I went into my wife's aunt's salon yesterday and bleached my hair. And here I am.
Look at that.
Which your and wife's
so this is like my big reveal to you three guys. So tell me I look good.
It does look good.
Let's give a plug for, because we plug hairdressers on this show a lot. So let's give a plug for
you
Salon.
Got Chris McMillan.
Salon Midori.
Salon Midori.
Where is it? Where is it, Nicholas?
I can give you the full address.
Yeah.
Get ready, listener. This gives you time to get your pen ready, listener.
It's in Brea, California.
Okay.
Brea.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Sure.
Ask for Lay Cicero.
Done. Just say the word smartless and receive up to, I don't know, I'm just saying.
Wait, Nicholas, by the way, Nick or Nicholas? Which do you
Nick's good, yeah.
Okay, so Nick, where are you right now?
I'm in Long Beach. We live down in Long Beach.
And is this where you live?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's nice. How long have you been here in the States?
Coming up on like 7 years, I think. Oh, wow. But like, you know, kind of roaming around throughout all that time as well. But yeah, we've been down to Long Beach for like 2 years.
Now, how did you find Long Beach? This is for listener, if you're not aware of Los Angeles, Long Beach is an incredible part of the city.
It's the port of Los Angeles is in Long Beach.
The largest port in, I think, the country. It is not a place that you often hear people living in because it's just just south of the city. And so I'd like to know how you found yourself there.
Well, my wife's family are all from down this way. And so with me being on the road a lot, it made sense to be closer to her, have her, you know, a support system around. And I love it down here, to be honest with you. There was something about really LA that always made me feel a little bit edgy.
And it's also like it's such an industry town and it's nice to live a place where there's other stuff going on, I bet, yeah?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And it's very walkable, there's good food, nice people. It's a good little spot. I like it, yeah.
Yeah. And we will be right back.
And now back to the show.
Children you have?
Yes, we got two boys.
How old?
Which is 7 and 2, which is chaos. We were in A&E last night with my older one getting staples in his head because he cut his head open.
Oh, no.
He's fine. Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, boys will take you to the emergency room. Will, you can attest to
been,
that. Yeah?
I have three boys. I've been many times. To emergency. Oh, yeah.
I have two girls, only once. Only once. The emergency room.
Yeah. Are you serious?
I had my eldest, who's 16 now, once when he was about 11, he broke his arm. He had it in a cast. He got it off. And the day he got it off, he re-broke it.
What?
No yeah. way.
Why yeah. don't I remember that? That's Archie?
Yeah. Well, how would you remember, Mike? You don't even know what your own... Anyway, it was Archie.
How did he do it each time? How did he do it each time?
Just each time, just foolish. Just running, falling, tripping... he used to have this sort of proclivity to run one direction, but be looking the other direction constantly.
like he's super bright.
You'd see him running, going this way, and going like, and then fall. And
really?
Yeah. Anyway, so I've been there. So it's you got your hands full. 2-7. That's a good spread, right? That's a nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good little spread. But yeah, my poor wife at the moment. He was in A&E. I tore my ACL like last week.
No.
You did? Just last week?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Playing basketball.
Mm. See, we're just too old to do it now. Nick, you're considerably younger than us, but you're still too old.
This was what hurt more than the injury was I was back and then I was like Google MDing. I was like, oh no, what's happened, blah, blah. And when I found out it was a full tear of the ACL, I looked it up and like the AI review of the injury was like most frequent in middle-aged people who play jumping sports.
Oh, really? Is that
and
true?
I was like, oh, there's no need for the middle age like throwing that at me.
Have you already gone in and done the repair on it?
No, not yet. No. I'm kind of like rehabbing at the moment, and then we'll do that once.
Once you finish the film.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, of course.
You can hobble around on it?
I can get around right now. Yeah. But if I did the surgery, I think I couldn't for a while.
But I hear that that's just sort of outpatient stuff nowadays. They just like go in there with like a little hose camera and like sweep it up and get out.
No, I think for this they have to, because it's a complete tear. I think they like cut out a piece of my patella with the bone and screw that in.
Oh, man.
And then they drill into the side of your knee. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't sound great.
No,
it sounds pretty terrible, to be honest.
So, but now you're going to, you got to wait till after the David Leitch thing. There's stunts in that. He does stunt stuff, and it's called How to Rob a Bank. There's going to be activity in that. How are you going to do that?
Activity.
I'm going to figure that out. That's why I'm rehabbing at the moment. We'll see how strong I can get beforehand.
Now, you robbed the hell out of a bank in The Order. God, everybody, you got to
so
see The
good.
Order. That movie's
so
good.
I'm on a good bank robbing run.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
How does this one differ from that as far as the bank robbery stuff? Is it more involved?
It's modern, but I would say it's more of a Robin Hood-esque story in terms of my character, the why he's gotten into this and how he's kind of revolutionizing a movement around it. For good causes, essentially, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Cool.
Now, what about Nishan? I don't think you know this yet haven't really processed it yet, but I bet you Scotty has, considering his screensaver. Nick's coming up in Superman.
I know. Tell me about
Lex Luthor.
That's so great.
That is released in July, correct? Is that right?
Yes, July 11th, yeah.
All right. So what was that? Was that
daunting?
You talk about what version of Lex Luthor this is? Because he's had different occupations in the past, correct?
Yes. There's so many different variations of it through the comics and the films and in terms of what he is. James Gunn likes to describe him almost as a...
That's the director, yes?
Almost as a sorcerer in this, the level of science he's working on. But, you know, he's a tech billionaire, defense... And we start this Superman story like in an already developed metropolis. Kind of, you're thrown into a world and universe that's already fully imagined, and all these, characters that have been around for a minute, and you kind of catch up with where you're at.
It's the appropriate thing nowadays, right? To make the villain a tech billionaire. But that kind of lines up. You go like, it's not a straight, you don't go like, what? You go, yeah, that's right, that's right.
That's not believable.
It certainly seems very, very apt, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a villain look in that?
He's traditionally been bald-headed, right? Is that right?
Yeah. No, I shaved my head off.
Oh, you did?
Shaved my hair off.
Yeah.
Just the whole head.
Shaved it completely clean.
Yes.
And then what was the grow back process on that? Because I hear some people worry about that their hair is never going to come back.
It came back. Okay. Maybe not as full and luscious and wonderful. I don't know.
Wait, did you have to shave it? I had to shave my head for a movie called The Three Stooges. Very similar.
Yeah. And that was a picture.
They're so crazy.
Sorry, it's an inside thingy that's not funny.
But I had to shave it.
These stooges are some kind of bananas.
It's the but presence in that room. Okay.
It is. Okay. That's a good reverb in that room. Wait, Nick, did you have to? I had to shave it twice a day because it would start, right? The stubble would start showing. Oh, did you have
got,
to shave
yeah,
it?
You've got a lot of growth, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did you have to shave it twice a day?
No, it was,
day?
No, it was once a day, but then they'd kind of spray paint over the top of it.
Ugh. Oh, I see, I see. It was better than a bald cap and doing all that, right? And
Yeah. I haven't really done the bald cap thing too much, but I feel like it's like wearing a swimming cap throughout the day and it gets all hot and sweaty and bubbly.
And where did you film it? Because what part of the country?
We filmed what planet, Sean?
Yeah. I mean, would you like? Yeah.
You want to do a tour of their locations? What are you doing?
No, because I want to know if it was hot or not. Because it was...
Oh, when you, great question. Okay, now I understand. Because of the shaved head, you want to know if it was...
Well, because my thing is, when I shaved my head, when I shaved my head every single day, it was in Atlanta. It was so hot that when I went into my hotel to sleep, I cranked up the AC, and I had to wear a ski cap on my head because the AC was so cold on my bald head. Anyway,
this guy doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
You didn't want to just turn down the AC, ding dong?
No.
Yeah, wouldn't want to do that.
No.
Got it.
But anyway,
you want to know if he had a similar experience to your fucking lunacy that you were going through?
I can relate. It wasn't self-induced. We shot a little bit of the film in Svalbard.
Where's that?
Yeah.
It's kind of near the Arctic Circle, in the Arctic Circle.
Oh, wow.
A Norwegian island up there. And so that was very cold, and my head was, you know, naked.
That's what I'm saying.
And it would get chilly.
That's what I'm saying.
No. It's not what you're saying. He was wearing a fucking hat. It was cold.
And he was in the Arctic Circle.
Because he was in the Arctic
not
Circle.
Not the Omni.
Not in
Atlanta.
The hottest city.
I refused the hat. There was a hat as part of the costume. But I said no to the hat. Because I was
saying hi to the Hawks players as they were coming back from the road trip.
Great win, fellas. Anyone cold? Sorry, Nick.
Sorry, Nick.
We're pretty slappy today.
We are very
now.
Sad.
Let's go all the way back.
I was going to say the same lesson all the way going.
Will,
would
you like to start it about a boy? Will, is that where your question?
I just
want to
know
from?
How it all started, Nick. How did you become you? You're so good at what you do. How did that all? What was the beginning of your journey? What was the day that you woke up and went, oh, today I want to be an actor?
Yeah.
I was lucky. My mom and dad weren't involved in the business, but my older brother and sister, my older brother really loved acting, and my older sister did a lot of singing and dancing and was very talented with that as well. So it kind
and
of...
now they hate you.
And now they detest me. No, they... So they that was their hobby and passion, and it kind of, you know, being the third sibling, I kind of just ended up being like, all right, you end up in dance classes or in
theater
shows and whatever, and you kind of just get dragged. So it was kind of like the, you know, the family hobby in some ways that then through them being skilled managed to like get lucky and get an agent and then kind of, keep doing it. And so it's
are they still doing it?
Not at the moment, no. My little sister still works in film. She works as an AD, but my brother's a forensic chemist and my older sister teaches dancing and stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, so there's...
Wait, your youngest is an AD?
Assistant director.
That's awesome. That's the hardest job on the set, first AD. That and first AC, I think.
The base running can be very difficult because you have to, you know, tell people to get out of their trailers a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And some people don't want to leave.
Inviting.
Sean, do you want to explain the AD department to Tracy or is that too long?
Sure. I don't. It's assistant director, right?
Yeah.
First AD.
Hang on. You want to start with clarifying what the acronym is?
No, but I meant you said
you're
first
not
AC.
Sure?
Well, no, I don't know what AC is.
Assistant camera.
Camera.
The first
assistant director in their job, and then the people who were for the second and the second, those people are the people who run
the whole thing.
The skeleton of the film, as it were. Yeah. They keep the trains running on time. They do all the things. Their jobs are so immense.
Yeah, they don't stop from
couldn't
the second
be more
they
important.
Wake up.
Couldn't be more important.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
So
about
a word
boy.
From our sponsor, do you think? Or? Now,
we just want to leave a little break for the commercial. Was About a Boy the first project that you did, or was it the first thing that really kind of like launched you into public viewing?
Yeah, that was a kind of a breakthrough, I guess. I'd been in a few things before in England, but that was the one that was like,
and you were 11,
we're different. Yeah, we were 11.
What was your first professional job?
first professional job. I think I did a play when I was like 3 or 4, and then I did a wow. film called Intimate Relations huh. when I was 5.
Explain that one.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what? I remember the audition for that because it was very easy. I thought they were like, I will sit under this table and pretend to eat cake.
I can do that.
I can do that. Yeah.
Sure, good.
All right, Sean.
That's how Sean does it now because he doesn't want anybody to know he's eating sugar. So he goes,
yeah, and I'm not even auditioning.
Yeah.
Now, so you're 11 and this thing happens, and I imagine it was a fun experience, and then it comes out and it's kind of a big hit. And what was the adjustment from being just a kid to like did your friends start to
treat you
like say what's going on with you? And
yeah, because that About a Boy was so huge.
Yeah.
This is getting into a bit of a therapy session here now.
Yeah, just lay down if you need to.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, I suppose that was a bit weird because I was fairly recognizable for a little bit through it.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's also like one of those things where also like, you know, it's like kids don't care. They care and then they don't care. And everything like passes so quickly that it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, whatever. You just get on with life. Right.
You're starting to get a bunch of attention at school and some of the boys might not like that, right? They're jealous?
You know what? Most people were pretty nice. Most people were pretty nice.
Yeah.
It was kind of okay.
I'm projecting.
But it makes you self-conscious of yourself, I suppose, more than anything else. You're like, oh,
of
no.
course,
right.
I can't
right.
imagine at that age. Yeah, feeling like because some people are mentioning it and some people are looking at you, and then you feel like, is everybody looking at me? And it would make you very self-conscious. And if you're young, especially in those adolescent years, which are tough enough as it is, mm-hmm. it must be quite tricky. Really?
Yeah, you become even more of a version of like, so yeah, just being like self-aware in a horrible way, which you probably don't want. Yeah.
Were you like, this was like a fun hobby, a good reason to miss class, and or were you thinking, great, I've got a nice jump start on my career? Like, did you decide this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life at that point?
No, because everyone talks about how child actors often fall apart and fail and how it doesn't work out for them. So that, like, you're aware of that conversation. So you're kind of like, there's a good chance.
Keeping your options.
So I would say
open.
I was in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I like this. I'd like to carry on doing this, but also I was kind of reserved about it a little bit, where I was like, there's a good chance it doesn't work out. So don't like.
Right.
Well, Jason, you're not unfamiliar with the sensation.
Yeah. So did you like me when it came time to like finish high school and now it's like the decision about going on and going into college and actually studying up on an industry or an occupation? What was that decision like? You had some momentum going at that moment. Did you make a decision like, screw it, I'm all in?
At that moment, I was lucky. I did a TV show in England called Skins, and that we did the first series, and then found out that the second series was going to happen. And that was one of those things where it was around the time that I started my A levels, which is when you're 17, 18 in school, and I realized I was kind of like half focusing on school and half focusing on work, and I wasn't really fully into either. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to commit and then give the acting a try and see how it goes, and if I need, I can come back to school.
Yeah. And you thought maybe I'd give it 3-4 years, something like that. Because like that's like it's a real roll of the dice, right? Because you'd have to go back into college, and it's stressful.
Yeah, and there wasn't anything that I was particularly good at either.
What do you think you would have done if you had to do something different?
I really have no idea because I'm not good at anything.
That's what I say the same thing. I'm not joking. I always say I'm not good at anything.
What would you have liked to have done if you couldn't have acted?
Oh, just be a race car driver.
F1? For real?
Or a rock star or...
F1?
Or a writer or something. Yeah. I enjoy watching F1, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't really have a backup. But I think the one thing that, like, I like the eclectic mix that acting allows you to, like, do kind of be a jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I excel at anything particularly, but I can kind of dabble a little bit in lots of things.
You get to do everything, you know, which you certainly have done. I mean, the variants and projects that you do and filmmakers that you work with. I mean, it's
a lot of people chase fame and other people chase the work.
Huh.
And I feel it.
Well, fuck. No, just say it again, because I've got a blank t-shirt I was looking to fill.
And well, Nick, you always seem like you chase the work and you're not interested in any of the flashy
Sean, what would you
stuff.
Have done if you hadn't done this?
I, I, What, this podcast? No, I'm with you guys. I don't know how to do anything else. I mean, I can play.
Were you drawn to anything at like college?
I mean, I thought I was going to be a conductor, and I thought I was going to compose film scores.
Right. That's right.
JB, what about you? What would you do if you could? The same thing you asked Nick. What would you do if you could?
I want to be an architect. I wanted to like design residential homes.
Okay. Oh, wow. You have to draw really well.
And I can't really draw. I just like architecture.
Yeah, I do too.
I would have gone into that. Would have had to have a partner that knew the math.
But any answer that you play out, like architect or whatever, then you go, yeah. God, I have to go to school and then I have to learn to draw and everything. Like it's so, there's so much work involved where acting feels, it's just like you're playing.
But the trade-off with that is that you've got no guarantee of employment.
That's true.
I would have been a bartender at a club. Med.
Just asking for beads.
Yeah, just fuck it. Just flip flops all the time and just fuck it.
Lighting cigarettes.
Whatevs. Yeah. Whatevs. Just ride it out.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
And back to the show.
But seriously, Nick, how are you picking your jobs? It seems like you're looking at kind of who's in it, who's directing it, kind of what's the quality of it as opposed to what's the star-making potential of it.
No, I'm chasing fame and money.
No, you're not.
Like a rabid animal, but I just haven't achieved it yet.
I'll bet you get a bunch of that low-hanging fruit pass right underneath your nose and you've been very disciplined.
Yeah.
I try to be. It's one of those where, I feel like I just want to do good work and have like... When I'm sitting in my rocking chair in 50 years' time, looking back, I can be like, "Oh yeah, you tried to really create special things each time."
That's
you
right.
Are there any roles? And you, without naming names, are there any roles that you turned down that you went like, oh, "I wish I had done it." You ever have that?
I think for the first time there was maybe one where the person got nominated for an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
I was like, ugh.
Oh, really? Now, did they play the part the way that you would have?
Oh, much better, much better. Yeah. That's always the thing. Whenever there's a role you don't get or someone else does or whatever, there's always a thing where you watch it and you're like, oh yeah, no, I see.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
And it's very classy that you're not mentioning what that is too. I think some actors that they mention and then the person that feels like shit is the person who actually did the part.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, so I was second.
Right.
I was backup.
But there's always that, you know, whenever like... There's always a list that goes through, like the turnover of project. I'm sure you guys see it all the time when it's like, oh, this script's been around for a minute. It was this person for a while, then it's this person. It's kind of like,
yeah. I'm just finishing up one of those. Pedro Pascal was set to do the part I'm playing. Anyway, what
God,
do you
he
think about?
Been great.
I know, right?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just imagining him, and he's so good.
It would have been good. Now, what about doing X-Men again? Scotty just grabbed the ceiling.
Yeah,
that was.
He loves that.
Doing X-Men or like Mad Max or Superman, like you are sneaking in some big commercial films as well. That work process on that is, it's, you're only doing like a half a page a day and it's right. The apparatus is just huge. Do you like doing that? Or do you prefer doing the smaller films where you're really chugging along and you got to do a bunch of pages a day and it's it's more acting than it is sort of, stunts and effects and things like that.
It's different. I really enjoy the stunt process of those things, but for those bigger ones like that, it's more of like an experience.
Yeah.
Like I can clearly remember like some of the days on Mad Max where we'd be in the Namibian desert and you know the they'd give the signal for everyone to start up their engines and you'd hear all these V8s and V12s and all these engines like start up around you and then you couldn't hear anything else apart from the thunder of that taking off across the desert and you're like wow, in terms of life experiences that doesn't get
that's cool like that's
any,
really cool
any more exciting than that. The hairs on my arms would stand up each time, but then also it's fun to then go and do like,
and I'm immediately thinking about all the dust. Oh, and how far base camp is from set.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what kind of, is it?
Well,
am I
keep your
have
eye
an
on
umbrella,
the prize, huh?
Umbrella near my chair because it's probably just really
it
hot.
It is, though. But to Jason's question, the comfort level of doing like an indie, like a super small budget compared to when you're used to doing bigger films like that, you have to adjust your expectations about how the day's going to go in terms of comfort, right?
It's not cushy on the some of these, right?
It's not. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad on the indies.
Anyway. Boy, lots, not a question in there.
No.
two hosts and not one question.
Now, how do you like the whole, how do you like the whole press part of it? Like doing crap like this and like, because when you do those bigger films and Superman certainly
I was just thinking about you saying July 11th, you know the date, obviously, and it's something you worked on, but it's like, this is the lead. I mean, you've got a long road ahead of you, not to make it too daunting. I'm sorry. But you know that.
Those films. Yeah. So listeners, you do these big films, they make you fly around, not make you, not mean to sound like we're complaining, but you do, it is very robust, the whole thing, all the chat and giggle stuff you got to do.
Yeah.
How do you like doing that?
You know what? I've tried to flip my thinking on it in the last year or a bit or something. So where I was like, I used to kind of not dread it. There was part of me that was like, oh, it's quite fun. But I guess that slight introvert part of me was like, I don't know about, you know. And then I realized I've got to perform and play the game better of what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And
like, you are ultimately a salesman at that point. Yeah,
and I think somebody said to me a long time, they don't pay you to do the movie. They pay you to promote it.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so when you look at it that way, you go like, okay, this is a big part of the job right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've got to be a better salesman.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but as you said it, and I've been accused of this as well, and I think they're right, of being an introvert. This is not comfortable for me.
I wouldn't say that. Like, you're not an introvert. You're boring. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a distinction there. Do you know what I mean?
That's what my fear is. I'm like, I'm boring. I just want to stay at home. I want to go and do my acting. I hope people like it. And then like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, but
it is effortful. It is effortful.
Yeah, there's a certain ham gene, a healthy ham gene that I don't have.
Well, you feel like you're bragging is part of the problem, right?
That and or also just like demanding attention. I've talked about it before, making a toast. I just cringe myself out standing up and demanding attention.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about you in the flipping and doing the toast and stuff, and we had our friend's birthday recently a month ago, and you guys went and I couldn't go because of work. And I was thinking about the toast and I remember I wrote that toast for
right.
I still wrote it to have, and Bradley delivered it while
it was hilarious.
Even though I didn't go,
it was hilarious.
We haven't even talked about that, right?
In the toast, I made Bradley go. He does this whole thing. It was for Robert's birthday for Downey, and then I said, and Jason Bateman. I said, Jason, would you please stand up? So Bradley's reading, and he says, Jason, would you please stand up? Jason stands up, and then Bradley reads, look at this monkey. I can make him do anything I want. I'm not even here. Anyway, but
the roof died. It was very.
But the point, here's the flip, JB, which is and it kind of goes along the lines of you're being paid to do it is making a toast is it's not about you. Think about it. It's for the other person. Yes. So you're making it about you. And it shouldn't be. You're doing it. So I don't necessarily want to go and do it. And I don't want to make a speech at somebody's birthday, even though it seems like I do or I want the attention. You're doing it for that person because they want it. And if you look at it through that lens, it's much easier. True.
That's a good point.
There was like a really interesting thing I was reading the other way, and I'm butchering it completely, but what you said there was like being introverted is like a self-centered thing in many ways. And when you're kind of bold in an interaction, instantly it puts the other person at ease.
Yeah.
And I've got friends who I see do it all the time when they'll meet someone for the first time and they'll instantly like break the ice so brilliantly and do these things where you're like, oh, wow, you can just see how.
Well, because it's the work part. Somebody told me a long time ago, you're not allowed to be shy after 9 years old.
Right.
Because that just means you just don't want to do the work.
And I will say this. I'm not saying that, JB, that you're not a kind and I don't think that you're self-centered. I think that it's much more, you look at a guy like Kimmel. Kimmel goes out of his way and he does stuff and he hosts stuff and he gives toasts and he does it. I mean, endlessly.
Work.
Endlessly. Yeah. And he does it because he's very open-hearted about it and he understands that it's important to the other person to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If I think about it that way, I would do it much more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That feels good. Thank God. 56.
That's why I've got your eulogy written right here.
It's ready?
I just finished it today. Well, I talked to your doctor.
Ready to go?
I talked, hey, side Zoom after this? Is that cool?
Just to go over it.
All right, I'd like to go back to Lex Luthor because this is a major movie that's coming out.
I know. Yeah. I love Superman.
Did you have a voice for him, or is it your regular voice, or did you completely?
I'm doing an American accent. I did a voice. Yeah.
Okay. Good. I love that.
I worked with an opera coach a little bit on.
Oh, really?
Which sounds like then the voice is going to be so different, but I was just trying to place the voice differently to where my voice is.
I get it. That's cool. I love that.
Like sort of like the top of your head type thing or something like that, you mean?
Trying to get it more from my stomach, I suppose, and all that. Because sometimes, particularly when you're then doing an accent, it's like it becomes, because you're trying to change everything in your mouth and throat in terms of how you're saying the sounds.
Yeah.
It can become placed there a little bit differently and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you like doing the American accent? Is it easy to you?
Yeah, I was going to just ask that.
I wouldn't say it's easy because then when I do a bad one, everyone will be like, not that easy.
Is it comfortable? How about that?
It gets comfortable. That's the aim whenever you, like, I'm just starting to work on this new accent for this new thing, and it's kind of, it's an American accent, but it's different to what I've done before. So then instantly it becomes like, at the moment it still sounds alien in my head, you know? It's like, and then hopefully with enough repetition, by the time we get to shooting, it'll feel like something that I can be like.
All right, okay. Now, are you just working on the material that you've got to work on for the film? Or are you trying to inhabit it sort of in the day-to-day when you're doing the dishes, et cetera, or playing with the kids, trying to get those American cadences, et cetera?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Nice work, Will.
Did I froze him out?
Yeah, you just froze him out. Killed him.
Let's take a quick little look-see here.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, there you are.
Now we can, yes.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Here he comes in video. Hold on.
I'm sweating now.
Now you're sweating.
Yeah, see, that's what happened.
Here we go. This is going to be seamless. My question was, do you do the accent all day? Or do you just,
like around kids like, and
or
stuff.
Do you just do it for the material that you're working on, or do you try to do it, incorporate it into your day-to-day and like when you're doing the dishes and playing with the kids, et cetera?
I don't do it at home. I'll do it. It depends on how long I'm doing the character and stuff. But yeah, I'll normally perhaps stay in it throughout the day. Film. I like in the morning warm up and like get into it and then try and stay in it for the day. And then like at the end of the day, I'll go home and I won't talk in it.
Do you ever do it around your kids? And your kids are like, Dad, what do you? I don't understand you. I don't
occasionally, I'll be like, because I sometimes record.
Ugh.
Bam, 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 bam.
Hey, Will, have you played golf since you've been done with the movie?
I went to the range yesterday. Boy, I figured something out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And we have Nick with us here. Check, check.
Here we go. He's back.
Nick Holt?
Yes.
There he is.
There he is.
Nick, do you play the golf? Do you play golf at all?
I do play the golf. Not very well.
Because we were talking about golf. During the intermission there.
Dual play?
We do. Sean does not. Sean can drive the hell out of the car.
Jason and I play. Sean did come to a golf tournament with us once, but he did not play.
You're not good because you don't play that much because you're working all the time. Yes.
I'm not consistent enough. Like when I'm on one, it's good.
All right. Looks like we lost him again. Please stand by.
By the way, you know, there are certain names, right, that have a cachet, that have a thing.
Yeah.
Nick Holt. Nicholas Holt sounds like a star name. That's a star name.
Sure, yeah, it Nicholas is.
Holt. You know what I mean?
You know, like, let me, can I run one by you that I don't think is? It's impossible.
You're going to say my name.
Will Arnett.
Yeah.
Is just something that's just, it's sort of like, that's fine.
I know.
That's fine. You know, Sean Hayes.
No, it's kind of boring.
It's like, it's kind of foggy. I can't really see through it. You know, it's hazy.
It's, you can't make anything out of it.
But Sean Hayes. Sean Hayes sounds like your sister's friend. You know? Who's like a graphic designer.
You know who I saw at the mall?
Fucking Hayes.
Sean Hayes.
Oh, yeah. I remember him from high school. That's it. He sounds like somebody, like your sister's friend from high school. And now you're 50 and you're like, I thought that guy died.
Sadly, that's true.
There we are.
Nick Holt?
Nick Holt is back. He's not back.
And more frozen than ever.
Robbie,
is he trying to join back in?
No, I just heard from him, and I think there's something going on with his laptop.
Well, listen, we lost Nicholas Holt. We have got a real spotty connection there. Yeah. But you want to know what? A guy that busy, we're thankful to
we're
get even
the, time that
the
we
amount
had
of
him.
Time that
yeah.
we had, right?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And this guy is a talent and a charmer.
Yeah.
And again, the hair did not disappoint. The jawline did not disappoint.
No.
Good looking guy.
Very well spoken, super talented. He's got it all. He's got the superstar name.
Yeah.
Focused. Like you said, Jay, picks the right projects with the right people.
Yeah. And I'm glad we didn't exhaust him because he's got a lot of talking to do in the coming months. Everyone's going to go out and see Superman.
Yeah, we're going to see Superman. What was the date? Was it July 11th, did he say?
July 11th, yeah.
Will anyone beat Scotty to the theater?
For Superman? Yeah. No. I'm not even kidding. He's literally probably already bought his tickets. Not even joking.
He brought something up on his phone last night, Willie.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, I'm over his shoulder. And right there, his screensaver on his iPhone is just the
Superman
badge, you know, the chest badge or whatever.
That's
the hell
his
it
screensaver.
Is. I mean,
I know he's a big nerd. He's a big fat nerd. Not fat, but he's a nerd.
That's a funny, that's a great, nerd is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the word I'd use. You know what I mean? Mine starts with an L. A big L. Remember because nerds all of a sudden sort of appropriated the word, losers appropriated the word nerd because they thought like it made them sound better and they're just losers. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to write this down and make sure Scotty knows.
No,
how
I'm kidding. I love Scotty.
Where does Dork live in that list? Is that more pejorative?
Dork is.
I'm
like
a loser too. I'm like a hardcore fan who's bummed out about a sports game last night. Like that doesn't exactly make me a fucking winner.
Yeah. No, but you know what I was going to say? How good looking Nick Holt is,
I said to
Will the
back
other day.
Back off the mic a little bit. Sean.
I said if you're attracted,
look at the tee up. Look at this. If you're attracted to,
if you're attracted to both men and women, but neither are attracted to you, you are by yourself.
Oh, good. Nice.
Bye.
I like that. We'll accept that. Bye.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.